Welcome to the podcast for G's only. For G's only. And it's for our woman who's at the C-suite level. CEO. And we're coming your way to share our stories and leadership. So we walk in the walk, talking the talk, being the boss lady. Welcome to the C-suite, where we help build women leadership and how to be the boss lady. So welcome to the C-suite. So let's talk about being a CEO.
Hello, hello, hello. And welcome to She Sweets Podcast with your host, Jody Hood. It is a place where women executives share and compare unfiltered realities that our male counterparts in the suite will never face. We laugh, we cry, we thrive, and we survive. Well, we're going to jump right in today, and my topic is E-communication is key. E-communication is key. So in the suite, you know, there are many cases where men view us as emotional, catty, sensitive. And as a result of the way we communicate in the suite is crucial to getting messages out correctly. So today, I'm going to focus specifically on electronic communication, email, and texting. Now, while reading a book, the name of it, many of you probably have read it, is Dealing with People You Can't Stand. And I know it's kind of a harsh title, but it's really comical. Well, in that book, the author dedicates an entire chapter on communication. And in the book, he mentions a 1967 study that speaks to the importance of verbal and nonverbal messages when people communicate their feelings and attitudes. So these were his findings. Now, keep these percentages in your mind. 55%, 38%, and 7%. And he calls those the numbers of meaning. So 55% of the meaning people make in any communication about feelings and attitudes is based on what they see. So when you're communicating, 55% of people, they're judging your communication not on what you say, but on what they see. That's body language, hand movement, eye movement. Now, the other 38% of meaning is based on how it sounds. So when we're communicating, regardless of what the words are, tone, volume, and speed matter. And this is going to make sense in a minute. And the other 7% of the meaning when people are communicating is based on the actual words that are spoken. 7%. So again, he calls that the numbers of meaning. Now, right now, everybody sends emails or texts. It actually is one of the most popular communication tools of this era. I know we FaceTime and some people communicate through TikTok and all of that. But in the professional realm, mostly everybody will send an email or a text. But you know what happens? You lose access to the nonverbal and auditory set of signals that add color and depth and dimension to the words that are being communicated. So messages can easily get lost in translation. So from reading this book, I learned of a few tips that can make our emails and our text a little better in terms of communication and making sure that the message that you are trying to convey is done correctly. So take a look at this. When you receive one of those inflammatory emails that gets you all hot and bothered, do not, I repeat, do not respond right away. The author of the book says, vent, but don't send it. He suggests that you write the email, but save it in a draft and wait at least one day. Ladies, wait one day before you send it. And he also suggests that perhaps you'll write your response in a separate text doc, because nothing is more embarrassing than sending that response to an inflammatory email while you are angry, and then you decide, oh, I should have waited. Or you write that response and your intent is to wait, and somehow or another, that send button has been activated. So again, one tip is vent, but don't send it. The next one is read it one more time. If you know or even think your message may cause or increase the conflict, read it one more time, because you just may want to delete or change some of those hot button words. I've done that many times. I'm just typing away, and I read it and I think to myself, self, I don't think you want to send that one. Here's another tip. We're talking about communication, emails, and text. We said read it one more time. The next tip is read it another time. The author says, before you send your email, read the sender's email to you another time of day. And here's why. According to him, and I found this quite interesting, your blood sugar rises and falls throughout the day. So those same words that you read may hit a little different, and you may even notice a phrase or a couple of words that you missed the first time around. Oh, I can relate to that, because many times I'm reading the email and I'm putting this tone on it, and I read it again and I have missed an, or a but, or a however, and jump the gun, and I am looking like a fool, and I have to go back and eat crow, as they say. Here's another one. It never hurts to get a second opinion. So it's a hot email, inflammatory email, and you say, I can't believe they're talking to me that way. Get a second opinion. Let someone else read the message. They may read it a total different way, total different tone. And you'll say, yeah, maybe that was the tone. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm jumping the gun. So get a second opinion and get another take on that communication. Here's another tip. We're talking about, folks, communicating with email and text. Begin with intention and end with direction. That's from the book. And it simply means when you're composing that email, write your intention straight out the gate. Hi, Joe. I need to ask you about thus and so. Or I'm writing because of an email I received from you that said blah, blah, blah. Straight out the gate. That's your intention. And also have in your mind the result that you want to have from the email. So you would end it exactly asking what you want. And as a result of this, I really like to have a meeting with you, or I really would like you to consider something else. But make sure when you're writing the email that you have the intention and the direction you wanted to end with in your mind already. Here's another one. Quote early, quote often. In the body of the email, respond repeating their exact words sometimes. Hey, in the email you just sent, you said thus and so. Did you really mean that, or were you kidding? Oh, and you may quote something else. And then in the second paragraph, you say their exact words. You know what that does? As they're reading the email back and they're reading their words, they may say to themselves, "Ooh, that's not really what I wanted to communicate." Or, "I can see where they would misconstrue that." So yeah, quote early and quote often. Now here's my favorite. And my kids tell me, because I'm a boomer, it's a boomer thing. They're like, add emojis. I am the emoji queen. Oh, I'm going to put a sad face, happy face, hearts, stars, I don't know, shrugs. You're going to know exactly how I feel in the email, because I'm definitely going to add an emoji. Now, in a business email, you may not add all the smiley faces and the kisses and hugs, but there are some characters that could indicate that, this is a light email. So it's like the colon and the parentheses that could make a happy face or a smart, or the backwards colon could make a sad face. But sometimes if you add emojis, that adds context to the information of your words, and it decreases the likelihood that you will be misunderstood. Because 9 times out of 10, when we're emailing back and forth and something gets lost in the translation, it leads to misunderstanding. Something that could be cleared up quickly with, you know what, the old-fashioned phone call. Lastly, the author suggests that use your jokes carefully. And there's nothing worse than putting a joke in an email or text and it goes left. And the reason is pretty obvious, because what may be humorous to you or to some may be offensive to others. Plus, if you notice comedians, it's not just the words, that 7%, but it's that other, what, 55 and 30, 38? It's the gestures, it's the body movement, it's the eyes, the expressions, it's the tone, it's the speech pattern. When you're telling the joke, all of that makes the joke work. But if you only have the words, it's very possible that that joke will not be funny. So there you have it, folks, in a nutshell. Since the most popular mode of communication now is email and text, let's get it right. The last thing you need is to have a time stamp and offensive words living in eternity in someone's phone, someone's computer, or in that doggone cloud. You do not want to have full display of your rage and rant that may be due to a misunderstanding or misinterpretation of a text that leaves you looking insecure and the angry female. Ladies, we're in the suite, but you know they're looking at us. So remember, you definitely don't want to end up as a gift or a meme. Some of our words or our emails could actually go viral, but in a negative way. So a word to the wise. Take a little pause before you hit that send button. All right, ladies, this brings my podcast to a close. So I want you to do me a favor. How about liking me on Facebook? That's Jody Hood. Connect with me on LinkedIn. That's Dr. Jody Hood. Dr. Jody Easterling Hood. Or how about this? Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Jody Hood. Until next time, C-Suites, please keep walking the walk and talking the talk. And C-Suites, the C-Suites are coming at ya.
Welcome to the podcast for G's only. For G's only. And it's for all women who's at the C-Suites level. CEO. And we're coming your way to share our stories in leadership. So we walking the walk, talking the talk, being the boss lady. Welcome to the C-Suite.